Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Karipko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. War on Terror. Lone Wolves Awaken. The attacks in Barcelona, Turku, and even Russia's Surgut all point to the disturbing trend that countless lone wolf terrorists are awakening, and that what we've seen so far might only be the beginning. Syria, from de-escalation to reconciliation. The latest Syrian peace initiative proposed by Russia is the formation of local reconciliation committees in the de-escalation zones, raising hope that the war might finally approach its promised political solution. And also, Antifa, terrorists or troublemakers. Over 250,000 Americans signed a petition to have the White House designate the alt-left anti-fascist civil society movement Antifa as a terrorist organization, though its supporters say that it's a necessary component of American democracy and, at worst, only a bunch of occasional troublemakers. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the spree of lone wolf terrorist attacks across Europe. The attacks in Barcelona, Turku, and even Russia's Surgut all point to the disturbing trend that countless lone wolf terrorists are awakening, and that what we've seen so far might only be the beginning. The worst one of the three, in the Spanish capital of Catalonia, involved assailants who used a van as their weapon of choice, while the latter two in Finland and Russia saw knife-wielding attackers who thankfully injured far less as many people, though two were killed in Turku. This spate of attacks caught the world off guard and put their entire countries on edge, even though there were general indications that lone wolves might be planning attacks in response to Daesh's impending defeat in the Mideast. There's no proof that they were coordinated, or even if each of the terrorists truly had links with Daesh or not, but they all occurred within the same overall time frame, and therefore deserve to be discussed altogether. The Barcelona attack saw several Moroccan-originating young men carry out the worst act of terrorism that Spain has seen in a decade, while the Turku attack is considered the first terrorist incident that Finland has ever faced. Interestingly, the suspect in that case also wasn't from the country that he attacked, and was actually a Moroccan asylum-seeking migrant. The man who authorities believe was responsible for the Surgut stabbing attack, however, is from the Republic of Dagestan, in Russia's Caucasus region. So, unlike the other two acts of terror, this one was committed by a born and raised national of the country that he targeted. Although there are differing reports about whether these individuals were on the radar of the respective authorities before they committed their acts of terrorism, the fact remains that none of them were stopped until after they began carrying out their plans. This proves that lone wolves are very difficult for the state to preemptively deal with, let alone detect in some cases, and that governments are more often than not forced to rely on responsive measures. The vulnerability that this exposes in the state's security apparatus suggests that lone wolves will continue to be a problem in the years to come, and that they might even frighteningly become the mainstay of terrorist attacks in the future, as larger, more organized goals such as Daesh's failed so-called caliphate give way to more dispersed, decentralized, and chaotic operations. So folks, our hearts go out to all the victims that were affected by these acts of terror, and we have for our first guest, Mr. Enrique Aracedo. He's from Spain, where the worst one of last week occurred. He's a Spanish-based geopolitical observer from History to Leadership and writer for Geopolitica.ru. Okay, Enrique, we have everybody being very upset about what happened in Barcelona, but nobody seems to know why it was that the terrorists decided to target Spain in the first place, let alone the capital of Catalonia. So what are your thoughts on the motive behind the recent attacks and the signal that it was supposed to send?
The reason why terrorists attacked in Catalonia is due to Catalonia is the Spanish region with more immigrants from Africa or Asia whose religion is Islam. In the region of Catalonia exists hundreds of mosques, and it's said that about 80 mosques are Salafists, are radicals, but there is no police action against them, as for example happened in Tunisia or Egypt. Thus, Catalonia is something similar to the district of Molenbeek in Brussels, where is concentrated a lot of immigrant population whose religion is Islam. But in the concrete case of Catalonia, Catalonian nationalists who ruled in the regional government of Catalonia since 1977, promoted the immigration, the massive immigration of North African and South Asian population religiously Islamic, and they used these people in two ways. Firstly, as cheap manpower, because Catalonian nationalists are mainly businessmen, and they wanted to make big business with the cheapest manpower as possible. Secondly, because these rulers thought that they could manipulate Muslims from Africa or Asia in order to use them as new Catalonians, as new voters for Catalonian nationalism, whose ultimate goal is the independence regarding Spain. And finally, coming back to the mosques of radical Islamists, now, fortunately, it comes out to the surface the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the founding of radical mosques, because it mainly comes from Saudi Arabia. And what this means, Saudi Arabia and Qatar are ruled by Wahhabis, by Islamic radicals, by an elite who founded terrorist groups operating, for example, in Libya, in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, but also in Europe, in Kosovo, Albania, or Bosnia. And Saudi elite also launched military operations 2 years ago against Yemen. But it seems that all of these crimes don't matter to politicians in Spain or the king of Spain, because no matter the party, all of them, king included, if they can make deals with Saudi Arabia or Qatar or whatever petromonarchy.
Okay, I see. I mean, this is very interesting about Catalonia. I had no idea about the situation there. Thanks for explaining that, Enrique. And now I want to ask you about the EU's lax migration laws and open borders policies, because some people are saying that these are partially to blame for facilitating some of the terrorist entrance to Spain. So how do you understand the relationship between so-called refugees and terrorist attacks?
In the case of Catalonia, all terrorists were immigrants or they were born in Spain, but all of them have ethnic origin in Morocco. About migration laws or open borders policy, I think that unfortunately in Western Europe won't change them, because we are ruled by people of business. They are only worried in the benefits they can obtain each week, each month, each year, and no matter the cost. Massive immigration and the wave of refugees are two waves of the same process, which are connected with the capitalist interest of those rulers. So the problem here is not the terrorists under the guise of refugees. We have cells of terrorists that they have grown in Spain during many years, and they have received a lot of money from countries as Saudi Arabia or Qatar, where rule the radicals, the Wahhabis, but also the regional government of Catalonia, in this case, gave a lot of grants to immigrants. And now are appearing information about that several of terrorists liquidated in recent anti-terrorist operation received 2,000 euros per month and other grants. And we have other cases in which jihadist terrorists detained by Spanish police also received social grants.
Okay, yeah, I mean, this you're really shedding some real insight into what's going on in Catalonia, and I think this is going to be very eye-opening for our listeners, Enrique. Well, I want to move over real briefly, since we got about a couple minutes left, and discuss what happened in Finland, because we saw that the terrorist suspect there was also supposedly a so-called refugee. So how likely is it that the Barcelona and Turku attacks in Finland will lead to some sort of tangible change in the EU's migration and open borders policies?
I think there will be changes if other political forces rule in the European Union, or as we saw in some countries of Eastern Europe, where are rolling up forces opposed to impositions from Brussels. They deny accepting all refugees as rulers of the European Union wanted, and they also protected their borders. Now there are no terrorist attacks in these countries. They want to be sovereign, but a sovereign government and sovereign peoples are dangerous for the business of Brussels elite. Finally, this problem is only a concrete part of enormous problem, because it's clear that if Eastern Europe don't want to accept refugees of massive immigration, no matter the same rulers from Brussels and Washington have other plans for them, that is, using Eastern Europe as a spare against Russia, placing a lot of NATO troops and military facilities. So the problem is very multidimensional, and we must know all dimensions in order to act properly in each dimension, because the massive immigration, also known as refugees, affects very negatively the country where they are living and the country where they are coming. Meanwhile, This process benefits in all cases to capitalist elites.
Enrique, thank you for filling us in on all these very interesting details about Catalonia. I had no idea what was going on there in terms of what you were saying, and neither did our audience, I think. So thanks for enlightening us. Now we're going to switch over and invite a Finnish guest onto the program. He's Mr. Petri Krohn. He's a political commentator from Finland. Okay, Petri, Finland's generally not associated with any sort of violence, but now all of a sudden a so-called refugee went on a stabbing spree there. So why do you think that he targeted your country? And what has been the public reaction to his first ever terrorist attack?
No one can say they were surprised. The most common reaction has been, I told you so. The government reaction has been to crack down on civil liberties, introduce an NSA-style warrantless surveillance of everybody. Finland has a long tradition as a red state. The secrecy of letters and telecommunications is embedded in the Finnish constitution and in Finnish social norms. The current right-wing government wants to abolish these constitutional guarantees and is planning to push the changes through parliament as some kind of emergency legislation. The attack now makes it possible that these changes, constitutional changes, may pass with the required 5/6 majority in parliament.
Okay, I see. I wasn't aware of that at all, and I'm sure that this is news to most of our listeners. You know, the next thing I want to ask you then, Petri, on this topic is around the same time frame as the Barcelona and Turku attacks, we also saw someone from Dagestan attacking people in the Russian city of Surgut, supposedly on behalf of Daesh. So what's your reaction to that attack and the possible connection between it and the Mideast terror group?
Commenting on this Finnish attack, I would ask that, is this really a terrorist, really terrorism, or is it just a hate crime? The Finnish police have arrested four other Americans, and the media is inflating the story as somehow the Finnish police have uncovered some kind of ISIS sleeper cell. But more likely, this is the group of American street children who have been roaming Europe for the last few years. There are thousands of similar cases of Moroccan children, underage migrants, in Germany and Sweden. This Finnish group was known in Germany under false names with false stated ages. I do not think that the crime in Turku should be prosecuted as a terrorist attack. It is more like a racist hate crime. The crime shows a deep contempt for Finnish people and particularly Finnish women. The attack may have been triggered by some simple misfortune, a rejected asylum application or some other rejection. But ISIS certainly didn't send these migrants to Finland to execute some terror attack. There's no sign of long-term planning. Generally, there's a tendency to call Muslim violence on Westerners as terrorism and white attacks on immigrants as hate crimes. But is there really a difference? I mean, calling these attacks terrorism gives these criminals unwarranted status and prestige.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I mean, those are some pretty solid points, Petri. Well, overall, how can states protect themselves from small-scale lone wolf terrorist attacks or hate crimes, however you want to classify them, such as the ones that took place in Turku and Surgut? And will they always be forced into a defensive position, or is there a realistic way for them to proactively take the lead in stopping them before they happen?
Building a surveillance society will not help. And the Finnish security police had received tips and complaints that this Turku suspect was radicalized, and they said that he wanted to join ISIS. But nothing was done, as the police had received a thousand maybe similar complaints similar complaints about the 40,000 asylum seekers that have entered Finland in the last three years. But this attack was the result of the systematic abuse of the right to asylum. This suspect in Turku had used false names and claimed that he was from Pakistan, not Morocco. His asylum application has already been rejected, but the Finnish legal system gives him a right to appeal. And anybody going through all the legal stages, if anybody files a baseless application for asylum, it will give one can stay in Finland for up to 2 years. And often happens that when the last appeal is rejected, these people simply go undercover and disappear as documentless people. And equally important is the breakdown of the Schengen border controls. So Finland needs to speed up the asylum process. The bureaucracy needs to somehow prioritize and expedite the processing of application, and especially the applications and appeals of those migrants that are flagged as a security threat. I mean, there are all these tips, but still these people manage to stay in Finland for two years before the authorities do anything. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that these Moroccans should not have been in Finland in the first place.
Petri, thank you very much. I appreciated your perspective on things, and I think that you provided us with a new way of approaching what happened in Turku. Thank you very much. Now, folks, if we reflect on what Enrique and Petri both share with us, we can see that, lone wolf terrorists or even semi-organized operations like what happened in Spain, these are definitely big problems for Europe. It's even more unfortunate when some of them are committed by asylum seekers or nationals that had migrated to a country, however you want to look at it, but people that aren't actually from that country. And it really creates a lot of political issues. It creates a lot of polarization. It furthers the political divide in Europe over the whole asylum seeking issue. And it also gets everyone very scared, because when terrorism such as what occurred in Barcelona, Turku, and even Surgut occurs in someone's streets, it makes everybody afraid. You never know if you're going to be next. God forbid. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonicnews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.